You are listening to Cedar Hills Community Church in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, a place to be loved, a place to belong, and a place to serve.
We're going to think about having resilience today and what it is like to keep going. And I'm really thankful that you guys have joined us for this continued series on Ezra and Nehemiah. We've been following this outline for most of the weeks because we've seen this pattern repeat itself over and over again, that people who were in exile, they were in a bad place, they weren't where they were supposed to be, were called by God to return home. And when they returned home, he started a renewing work in them. That renewing work led the people then to rebuild something in their lives, something in some cases spiritual, in some cases actual physical rebuilding, and that resulted in renewal and revival. So we're continuing to see this pattern week by week, and today it's probably the most familiar part of the story from Nehemiah chapter 4, where they finally get to rebuilding the wall. This is the part of the story we often know the most about. We're going to dig into that more deeply today. So if you've got a Bible, I'd like to invite you to open it up. Nehemiah chapter 4, or open up your phone, your device, whatever you read scripture on. We're going to read about God's call on Nehemiah to rebuild the wall. Nehemiah 4, starting with verse 1. Somebody stopped by the church on Friday afternoon with some donations for the food pantry, and after they dropped it off, they put their head in the office and yelled, "The Lord be with you." And I was in my office and I yelled back, "And also with you." And I was surprised at how encouraged I felt just by the simple acknowledgement that someone was praying for me. I hope you guys feel that encouragement each week as I remind you that I'm praying for you, even during the sermon. And the prayer that I'm praying is that the Lord would be with you. Nehemiah 4, verse 1. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" And Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What they are building, even if a fox climbs up on it, it will break down and their walls of stones will tumble. Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." So we built the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." This last verse caught my attention this week as I was reading this. The strength of the laborers is giving out. There is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. That sentence made me think about the need for resilience. Maybe another word for resilience is grit. That there's a need for them to keep at this job that seems overwhelming. And when I think about grit, that makes me think about weightlifters. And this is probably because where I run in the gym where I work out, right in front of me every day, there's people lifting weights. And I'm inspired by these guys because I have never been much of a weightlifter. And whenever I've tried to do it, I lack resilience. I just give up. I can't stay at it, and these guys stay at it. And all those train of thoughts led me to this man. I want to show his picture on the screen. Does anybody know who this guy is? This guy is the strongest man on earth. His name is Oleksiy Novikov. And he set a record last year of for the deadlift. Would you like to guess how much he's lifting in that picture right there? 1,185 pounds. He set a world record. He also won the Giants Medley, which is a race that involves carrying three motorcycles while you run. And he also won the Hercules Hold, which requires contestants to hold up two pillars, each about 350 pounds. And I got a picture of that here. That is not Oleski. That is Mark Felix, who actually holds the world record for this event. Those pillars are each 350 pounds. He has to hold them without dropping them. Would you like to guess what the world record is for that? 1 minute and 27 seconds. That's all. That doesn't seem like very long, but that's a lot of weight, and it takes a lot of resilience to be able to get built up to that amount of weight. Each of the feats of strength that they do in the strongman competition is about grit. And I wanted to draw a picture of that for you to get us, make sure we're all on the same page. Here's a picture of grit, okay? Grit is a function of time, so it has to do with how long can I endure something. That's one axis. And the other axis is, I'm going to call P for like problems or pressure. There's some trouble that comes, and you have to endure this trouble over time. And grit resides at the edges of this. So either I have a little pressure and I hang on for a long time, or I got a whole bunch of pressure and I hold on for a little bit of time. And grit seems to be somewhere in this field. Now, grit could be applied to a lot of things. It could even be applied to bridges. Do you remember the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis a few years ago? There was a story about a bridge that collapsed. The reason that bridge collapsed was because over time, the members of the bridge were weakened. And then there was a bunch of traffic and construction equipment parked on this bridge so that the pressure on the bridge grew. So because the bridge was old and there was all this weight on it, it did not have grit, it collapsed. You could also apply grit to snowstorms, okay? So we are now over a month into having constant snow cover on the ground, and we've had lots of snow. With each new snow, do you feel a greater urge to go out there and shovel it? Like, let's get out there right away before it stops and get the thing cleared off? No. The longer it goes on, the more we need grit in order to keep at it, resilience. Now, if you had a snowstorm, and the very first snowstorm had been like 3 feet, then you'd need grit right away to get after it. We could also apply grit to different things like Tom Brady. Does Tom Brady have grit? Yeah, whatever else you want to say about Tom Brady, he's been doing it for a long time, and he's faced lots of pressure. The pressure of age, the pressure of, you know, the past defenses coming at him, the pressure of new team and all that, figuring out a new system. Now, Patrick Mahomes also has grit, but his grit is probably more like short time, but a lot of pressure early on in his career. I mean, he gets the Super Bowl right away twice. He's already got lots of pressure on him. He's got grit. Now, we will find out tonight who has the most grit between those two. Do you have any predictions about that? Kansas City Chiefs. All right, good man. Grit could also be applied to things like marriage. Over time, pressures build up in marriage and problems. And you have to make a choice. Are we going to keep pressing through this? Are we going to keep moving forward with this? Grit could be applied to things like the Bible recap. When we start, everyone's all excited, we start reading the Bible, but the longer it goes on, the more the pressure builds to say, oh, I'm behind, I don't feel like it, I'm not going to keep reading, I'm not going to keep up. So this is the way grit works. Now, Nehemiah demonstrates grit. And I thought by looking at his story in Nehemiah 4 today, we might discover some tips that might help us grow more resilience and have better grit. So I'm going to look at three different phases of grit. The first phase is grit starts as soon as the trouble hits. Grit starts right away. I need to hang in. If there's no trouble, then there's no need for grit. But as soon as a problem comes, I am faced with the question about whether or not I'm going to hang in there or I'm going to give up. So we need grit immediately, because if we don't keep going, we're never going to get the problem solved. Now, Nehemiah saw immediately that the wall was a massive job. This thing was huge. It went all the way around the city, and it had been in disrepair for a long time. It was a pile of rubble, and it needed a lot of work. Added to this pressure, which required grit right away to even say, yeah, let's go for it, was the pressure of some additional trouble, and here's how Nehemiah 4 described it. As soon as the project starts, this happened. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. Now somebody's mad that he has started this project. That ups the pressure. And so Sanballat ridiculed the Jews. And in the presence of the associates of the army of Samaria, he said, what are you feeble Jews going to do? You really think you can rebuild that wall in a day? He starts mocking them. Each time he mocks them, it amps up the pressure. Because you know they got to be thinking, yeah, I don't know, can we do it? Look at that pile of rubble, it's really big. I don't know if we can do it. Each time he hears one of these ridicule, they are tempted to quit. Finally, Tobiah, I think, has the funniest ridicule of all. They're trying to build this wall strong enough to keep out any enemy invader. And Tobiah says, what you are building, even if a fox climbs on it, it'll knock itself down. You can't even keep a fox out of this wall. This trouble with ridicule and insults wears them down. It makes them wonder if they really can accomplish what they're doing. But they have grit, so they keep at it. In fact, we're told that they build half of this wall in a very short time because they were dedicated to doing it. So right from the beginning, we see that they keep at it and they have grit. But then the trouble ratchets up. When Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together and came to fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. They are ratcheting up the problems. They're going to come now and actually attack the people so that this trouble causes them to look over their shoulder, to doubt what they're accomplishing, to wonder when the attack's going to come, if they're going to be defeated when this attack comes. They begin to doubt their ability to complete it, and the rumors start to circulate. Their resilience is fading. Nehemiah tells us that. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out. There is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. The pressure of all of these insults, along with the size of the job, the people start to wonder, I don't know if we can go. I don't know if we can keep it up. This tells me we need to have grit as soon as the problem starts. We need to determine we're going to do it. We're not going to give up. We're not going to back down. We're not going to be discouraged. We're not going to be defeated. Grit starts as soon as the trouble hits. And the second thing I learn in this little story is that grit builds while we're fighting the trouble. As the trouble comes, as the problems build, grit builds. Nehemiah's response is very quick and decisive. As the problems build, he does the thing that he's instinctively wired to do, and that is to pray. We saw last week that Nehemiah was a man of prayer right from the beginning of chapter 1. Steve did such an amazing job last week with this. I encourage you, if you haven't seen last week's message on prayer, go back and you'll see that Nehemiah was a man of prayer. So that when trouble hits, the first thing he does is he cries out to God. He asks God to help him. He realizes he cannot do it on his own. He cannot finish this by himself. He needs God's help. So he cries out to God. The second thing he does is he responds to the wisdom God gives him. Really, it looks like God-given wisdom, because what Nehemiah decides to do is he decides to keep building, but he changes the strategy. Listen to this strategy, Nehemiah 4:13. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. He identified where the greatest pressure was going to come in this attack, and he reinforced that place with families who were guarding the wall that was closest to their own home. And half of them had a trowel in their hand, and half of them had a spear in their hand. And they kept building. They did not let the threat of attack derail them from the work that they were doing. And the third response that Nehemiah gives in this, and the people do as well, they never quit. They resolve to just not quit, to never, 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 never quit, no matter what comes. Nehemiah 4:14, after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Remember God, he says in this. Don't quit. Remember, you're there to defend your families, your sons and daughters, your homes. Now, we build grit by not quitting. We build resilience by being resilient. Now you're thinking that sounds circular, right? Yeah, you get resilience by being resilient. Do you know how you become the world's strongest man? First, you have to be born in the Ukraine or Russia. First, and then next thing you have to do is this. You have to eat 7,000 calories a day. That sounds like fun, actually. But the reason you eat that many calories is because you have to do a lot of reps. You have to work those muscles over and over and over again. That's how you build strength. Now, some of you may be way better at weightlifting than I am and can maybe correct me if I got this not quite right, but I understand that the way you build muscle is you work it, and you work it as hard as you can until you can't hardly work it anymore. And that breaks the muscle down. And then you rest and you refuel, and then that rebuilds the muscle up so next time you can work it even harder. And then you have to continue this repetition over and over again, breaking down the muscle, refueling, and then build it, letting the muscle build back up. That's how you build strength. This is exactly what Nehemiah did. He told the people, don't quit. Keep building. And refuel. And the refuel was recognizing that God is with them. He says, remember God is with you. Remember God is great and awesome. Pray to God. Cry out to God and he will strengthen you. And don't quit. If you have a trowel, keep laying bricks. If you have a spear, keep vigilant. Don't quit. Grit starts when the trouble hits. We resolve to go after it. Grit builds and keeps building the longer we fight the trouble. And grit triumphs when we discover that we have a great calling that we're supposed to accomplish, when we have a great work to accomplish. I am convinced that one reason Nehemiah refused to quit was because of the call he received from God. He knew what God wanted him to do, and so he was not going to back down from it. This started way back in chapter 1 when Nehemiah got the message that those who survived the exile are back in the province and they are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. And Nehemiah says, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He heard about this broken down wall and it broke his heart. And he began to pray, God, do something about this. And God answered his prayer and sent him to King Artaxerxes. And King Artaxerxes noticed Nehemiah was discouraged. And so he asked him about it. And Nehemiah said, I'm discouraged because my people's home is broken down. And the king says to me, what is it you want? And Nehemiah says, I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king. If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried, so that I can rebuild it. And he's got his call. And he goes back to the city of Jerusalem, and he surveys the damage for himself, and his call is amplified even greater because he sees what terrible condition the wall is. Somebody's got to do something about this. And he calls the people to join him, and the first fruits of the call come in verse 6 when they said, well, we rebuilt half the wall. We got it halfway done. We're halfway there. And then the trouble mounts, the problems, the pressure builds. There's a need for resilience and grit, and they buckle down, and the calling is fulfilled. And I love Nehemiah's response to some of this treasure. If you get a chance, go read Nehemiah chapter 6 this afternoon. Sanballat comes to Nehemiah and says to him, hey, let's talk, you and me. And he actually wants to like mock Nehemiah directly and make a personal assault on Nehemiah. This is Nehemiah's answer, Nehemiah 6:3. He says, I'm carrying on a great project. I can't come down now. He says, I have a great thing to do. I got a great calling. I got this thing. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to talk to you? He's directly confronting the pressure that's built by saying, I'm going to keep going. I have resilience. I love that response. He had a calling and nothing was going to stop him. And finally, the conclusion to the whole matter is reported in a rather understated way at the end of Nehemiah 6, Nehemiah 6:15. This is the report. And the wall was completed in 52 days. End of story. Incredible pressure, problems, trouble. 52 days later, mission accomplished. He had resilience. Calling completed. The result of this grit, I think, is even more amazing, though, than the actual wall. That's what happened because of this wall. And this is the next verse, Nehemiah 6:16. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid, and they lost their confidence. Now they're afraid because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. They knew it wasn't done by Nehemiah and these people. This work was done by God, and now they see it full force because Nehemiah didn't quit. Grit triumphed. The wall rebuilt, God glorified, and Nehemiah finished his great work. All this raises a question. I wonder what my great calling is. I wonder what your great calling is. You feel like God has a great project for you, something really important that you're supposed to do? I feel like God gives everybody projects, and sometimes they're great projects. Usually they're great projects. What might that look like for you? I love the work of a woman named Angela Duckworth. She's kind of a grit specialist. In one of her books, she writes this. Three bricklayers are asked, what are you doing? The first says, I'm laying bricks. The second says, I'm building a church. And the third says, I'm building the house of God. The first bricklayer has a job. The second has a career. The third has a calling. Do you feel like God has given you a calling, a great calling? And will he give you the resilience you need, the grit to finish it? So some next steps might mean just answering that question. What is your calling and what do you need to face? Where are you feeling worn down? Maybe there's some specific areas you could look at. Do you need grit when resisting temptation? You know those besetting sins that Paul talks about that sometimes we give in? Do we need more grit there? What about standing up for what is right? You feel like you have a voice to speak truth, to stand up for truth? Is that something you're called to do? Will God give you the grit you need to finish that? What about accomplishing a great work, meeting a need, a great need, caring for someone who's in great pain, loving someone well who needs to be loved? Could this be part of your great calling? And do you think God would give you the grit you need to finish it? There's something I read about this week. My brother actually talked to me about this. It was a thing called pandemic resilience. And apparently now researchers are studying how the pandemic restrictions have worn us down and made us tired. So we're walking around all the time, exhausted and worn out because the pressures have been building now for many months in not allowing us to live maybe the way we hope to and want to, that pandemic resilience is a real thing, and that we need more of it. What if your great calling was to help reconnect with people? Part of the thing that drained our batteries during the pandemic was loss of community. We lost track of each other. We lost connections. We lost relationships because of the pandemic's isolation. Maybe your great calling might be to reestablish connection with people. I don't know what your calling might be, but I want you to think about it for just a couple of more minutes. At least we're going to have some silence. And we recognize it's not always completely silent in here, but what we're trying to do is give people space to just ponder a little further, to go a little deeper, to listen to God's voice and see if he has something to say to you. So for the next few moments, we'll stop and think about where we could use some resilience and what is that great call that you think God might have for you. Just take a few moments and listen to God's voice and talk to him, and then I'll lead us in a prayer time. So let's go to the Lord. God, you are good, and your love endures forever. Thank you, Lord, for your enduring love. We know that it endures all things. So we give you our praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray you were blessed by today's message. If you'd like to support the ministry of Cedar Hills, please visit our website, www.cedarhillscr.org.